Today we are going to study the book of Exodus, chapter 4, starting from verse 1.
And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.
Now, if you remember last week, we learned that God told Moses that I'm going to send you there. He said, What is your name and what my people will say? And then he said, I am that I am that I'm sending you. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But still, Moses is not ready to go. They will not believe me, or they will not hear my voice. And they will say, God did not appear to you. Then what should I say? So hear the words too, what God is saying to him.
And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod.
Now God is asking him, What is in your hand? God can only use you what you have, and he can multiply or he can use you whatever you have. God has given us everything. We are not lacking of everything. But the people think God did not give them anything. God is asking you what you have in your hand. He says, A rod. Now, do you know what the rod does? If you have a rod and you are a shepherd, the rod gives you comfort that if there is enemy comes to destroy my sheep, I will take care of it. If there is a snake or lion or any animal comes, he can fight with a rod. So rod is for your protection. Up to now, Moses was using this rod for his protection. But now God is telling you what to do with the rod. See what God is saying to do. Verse 3.
And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it.
Now see, when he said, What do you have in your hand? He says, A rod. Okay, if you have a rod, throw it on the ground. Now he did not ask God, Why I'm throwing this? But when God said, throw it, he threw it. And that rod became a serpent. Now see, now up to now, he had the rod. If the serpent comes, he can hit with the rod and kill it. Now the rod became a serpent. Now he's running from the serpent. So from that, you know the rod is for your protection. Now he has no protection. And now the rod became a serpent. Now he might be running from the serpent, it is not easy to hit with a stone. But if you have a rod, it is easy to hit with the rod. Now, he is running away for his life. Then God says to him, verse 4.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand.
Now see, when you killing the snake, you kill the snake with hitting on his head. But God is telling him, catch the snake putting your hand on the tail. That was a dangerous thing. The snake is going to turn around and bite you. But I learned if you cannot hit on his face and you hold by tail, and if you shake the snake by tail, he gets paralyzed and he won't be able to run, so it's easy to kill. So either way, God told him, go and catch him by the tail. He has to have some kind of courage or faith to do this, because most of the people will not hold the snake by tail. But God said it, and he did it. And then it became a rod again. Now when Moses saw this, thinking, I never saw in my life that the rod became snake, and then becomes rod again. But this is God's doing. God was trying to tell Moses, you go and talk to the people, gather the elders of Israel. But he starts saying, they are not going to listen to me. They are not going to listen to my voice. They are not going to believe. So God said, now this is a one miracle you can do. Now this is just for the children of Israel. But he used this in front of Pharaoh also. But God said, if the children of Israel, they are not listening, do this miracle for them. Verse 5.
that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow.
And then he said, What you do, take your hand, put it in your bosom, and take it out. And when he did that, the hand became leprous. Now the leprosy are two different kinds of leprosy. One leprosy is you lose your toes, your nose, your ears, and you get disfigured, and you lose the sensation in your hands and feet and your body. But the other leprosy is like a white kind of leprosy. So that leprosy is like a white. And some people have spots, and some people have whole body white. So what happened when he put his hand in his bosom and took it out, the hand became leprous as a snow. And then God tells him to do it again, put his hand back. Let's read the verse 7.
And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh.
When he listened to God, first time the rod became snake, second time his hand became leprous, and now he knew that God is doing some miracles, and if I show this miracle, they might believe. Let's read verse 8.
And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land.
Now he says, I give you the two miracles. Perform these two miracles in front of children of Israel. And if they don't believe, then take the water from the river and pour it on the ground, and that water will become blood. Now these signs he is telling him to do in front of the children of Israel, the elders, and they will believe. Now verse 10.
And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue.
Now, first of all, he didn't want to go. He started excusing. They will ask the name. God gave it the name. Then he said, they are not going to believe that I came. And he said, tell them the God of the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then he didn't know what to say, but he said, they are not going to listen to me. They are not going to believe me. Then he gave him three miracles to do. Now he's finding another excuse. He said, Lord, I know you start talking to me and I'm talking to you. And he's trying to say, you might have noticed how I talk with you. And when you're talking to God, you might be afraid and you might be not able to talk properly. But he's trying to say, I cannot talk properly. Maybe he was a stutterer, or maybe he was not able to talk properly. But this man was not ordinary man. I'm talking about Moses. And so now he's saying, I cannot even talk properly. And my speech is slow, my tongue is slow, so I cannot talk properly. And so he was finding some more excuses. Verse 11.
And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send.
When he's saying, I'm slow of tongue and things like that, then God says, Who made the mouth, and who made people dumb and deaf? When you read in the book of St. John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So the enemy does destruction. But here God is saying, I made the mouth, and I can make people deaf, or I can make people dumb. And then sometimes people say, why God does this? God does this sometimes to show his miracle power. If you remember, Paul said to one man, God can make you blind for a season. And then man became blind instantly. And so Zechariah was in the temple, and when angel came and told him that you are going to have a son, he did not believe. So angel says, you're going to be dumb. So we see God can make people dumb and deaf and blind. He does for his glory. But the devil does for destruction. But devil makes somebody blind, devil cannot make that person to see again. But God makes somebody blind, he has power to make somebody to see again or talk again. But the devil does something wrong, he has no power to correct it. He does for destruction. God does for his glory. So now God gave him miracles. God told him, I'll be with you. But still he's saying, you know what? If you can do all these miracles through me, and if you can use me, why don't you send somebody else? You can use somebody else, and somebody else can go and do the same thing what you're trying to tell me to do. So God was very angry at him. Let's read verse 14.
And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart.
Now when he starts saying, God is saying, don't you know your brother is Levite? He's coming from the Levite's family. So he knows, God knows my family. God knows my brother. God knows my name. God knows my people. And now he says, okay, if you are slow of speaking, I know your brother speaks better than you. And so let your brother be your spokesperson. And he said, I already told him, I already talked to him, and he is coming. When he will come and when he sees you, he will be very glad in his heart. Because you know he left the house. I'm talking about Moses. Moses left the house, and his brothers and his sisters, they might be mad. This man was selfish and he did not rescue us. And they might be still angry, but he says, no, he will come. And when he sees you, he will not be angry. He will be very happy in his heart. So God knows everything. Whatever excuse people put it, God has the answer. So now Moses cannot say, I cannot do it because I'm slow of speaking. And so God already prepared somebody. I'll give a couple of examples. Job was very sick, and his friends came and tried to say bad about him. But God appeared and God talked to him and said, Job, you pray for your friends. At that time, Job might be thinking, God did not heal me, but he's trying to tell me to pray for the friends. But God already changed the heart of Job at that time, because God already showed him that God is much more powerful. But at the same time, if you read, God already talked to his friends. And he told the friends, go to Job and do the sacrifice, and he's going to pray. But God did not tell Job, I already told your friends. Here Moses, God is saying, I already talked to your brother and he's coming. The same way when God, Jesus appeared to Paul, he became blind. And he told him, go to Ananias. But God did not tell him, I'm going to talk to Ananias. He just said, go to Ananias. Ananias, God talked to him, and God says, go and pray for Saul. The point I'm making, even though God did not tell us everything, but he can communicate with other people. If he says, go for a job or do something, then God will open the door. He will have favor in your heart or in your sight. So here we see God is trying to tell Moses, don't worry, I already talked to your brother and he is on the way. We have no idea how God appeared to Aaron. If Moses would have said, if you could talk to Aaron and Aaron is already in Egypt, why cannot you use him? Why are you telling me to go? But I told you last week the secret of this. Because Moses' mother had the faith that God is going to use my son. That's why she was keeping him. After that, we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, when Moses, grew, but he says Moses grew, but I read in another Bible, he says when Moses became a great man, not only became old, but great man, because he learned everything from Pharaoh, now he is almost going to be the king. At that particular time, he said, no, I don't want to be king of Egypt. I don't want to have a luxury of Egypt. I want to suffer for the people of God. So God saw his heart, and God wanted to use him, but that time the time was not correct, because the 400 years were not finished, because there were still maybe 10 years or so remaining. It was not 400 years. So God did not help at that time Moses. Now somebody will say, and many preachers will say, you can be murderer, you can be killer, you can be any person God can use. God cannot use murderers and other people if their heart is not changed. Now here Moses killed the Egyptian, but there is not a single word in the Bible God accused Moses killing Egyptian. Why? Because Egyptians were killer. They wanted to kill children of Israel, and this was like a war going between. Now Moses only killed one Egyptian, but you will see later on each and every person's firstborn was killed. So thousands of children killed. Why? Because God gave the command to kill this enemy, because enemy was destroying and overpowering the children of Israel. So the point I'm making, God never said to Moses, you are a murderer, you should repent of your murdering, and I'm not going to send you there. But God was not sending Moses to rule the Egypt. God was sending Moses to do destruction and destroy the Egypt, kill the Egyptian people, and that was the plan. Okay, let's read verse 15.
And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do.
Now he's saying, when the Aaron is your older brother, but now I have chosen you, tell the Aaron, whatever I say, you say. Even though you are my older brother, this time I'm not going to listen to you, that whatever you say, I'm going to say. Whatever I say, you say. This time when God told him, you listen to Moses, and whatever Moses said, you do. And here he says to Moses, whatever I say to you, you say to Aaron, and Aaron will tell Pharaoh. So you be his mouth, and I will be with your mouth, and whatever I say, you do. And whatever you say, Aaron should do. And so let's read verse 16.
And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God.
Now he says he will be speaking to the Egyptian people, and he will be your mouth. Whatever you say, he says, and you will be God to him. Means he doesn't have to go direct to God. He will come to you, and you become his God. And he even say you will be a Pharaoh's God. So some people say, why we people start saying we are God? And that's why so many other religions thinking that we are all gods. Because sometimes they'll study the Bible and say, the Bible says, hey, Moses, you be God to Pharaoh. You be God to your brother. So we can be gods. When Jesus Christ came, he came as the Son of God. And now he says, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be my children. That means we will be all the children of God. And he gave us the power. Whatever Jesus did, we can do. So we will be like Jesus Christ's brother, and Jesus Christ will be our older brother. So God is using this Moses, even though he's a man. He says, you can act like God. I'm giving you power over this Pharaoh and over your brother. And so God is encouraging him to do the things. Verse 17.
And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace.
Now his heart is almost changed. He comes to Jethro, his father-in-law, and in here doesn't say everything he said to Jethro, but he just comes to him and says, you know what, I'm taking care of your goats and sheep this many years, almost 40 years, but now I'm going to go to my people and I want to go and see if those people are still dead or alive. Now, God did not say, you know, go and see your people are dead and alive and go there. God was sending him to deliver those people. But he is just telling Jethro, you know what, I lived this many years, my father, my mother, my brother, I don't know they are alive or not, I want to go and see. But indirectly, Moses didn't know yet that the Pharaoh and the people who were trying to kill him, are they still alive? He was just doubting. He didn't ask God, but God tells him here what happened to those people. Let's read verse 19.
And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life.
See, here he was telling Jethro, I'm going to go and see how many my people are alive or dead. But God knew. Moses is not worried about his mother, father are dead or alive. He might be worried about Pharaoh is alive or what. And this Pharaoh is going to kill me or what. So before he could ask God, God says, Pharaoh is dead. And the other people who wanted to kill you, they are all dead. So you don't have to worry who is going to come after you. So let's read verse 20.
And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand.
In this verse he says he returned to Egypt. He is not in Egypt yet. This verse says whatever God says he obeyed, but he did not start his journey yet. Let's read the verse 21.
And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go.
Now here he's saying he's prepared the Moses to go. He told him to do the miracles. He gave him assurance that people are dead and nobody is going to bother you. Now he says, you go do signs and wonders before Pharaoh. And he says, I have put in thine hand, means all the miracles, I put it in your hand. But he says, in your hand, that's a rod. You are going to do the miracles through the rod. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. So what he's trying to say, listen, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You're going to do signs and wonders and miracles. He will see all these miracles, but he will not let you go. Now the Moses will be a little bit confused. But let's read in the last chapter, in closing chapter, Exodus chapter 3, read from verse 18 to 22. He said exactly the same thing, but in that chapter he gave a little bit of assurance.
And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go. We beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand, and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons, and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians.
See, he already told Moses what's going to happen. I will make his heart harden. He may not allow you to go, but finally, you will go. Now, many people might be thinking, why God has to do these things? Why cannot God did a miracle for first day and let these people go? But do you know, if you lived in one place for a long time, it is hard for you to give up that place and go. You have memories, you love that place, you earn money, you stayed there, your life is gone, so you think this is my country and I don't want to go. And so God wanted these people to, Israeli people, to suffer a little bit. Because Pharaoh is going to make their life very hard. And then they will say, I want to get out of this place. And then they will go. But, and still, if you remember, they were in the wilderness, and they start saying, you know, this is very difficult, we'll go back to Egypt. So God wanted these people to suffer a little bit so they will get out of this place. Now, sometimes you love your mother, brothers, father, sisters, sometimes something like that, and you don't want them to die, and you want them to live for a long time. But time comes sometimes, and they became so ill, you cannot take care of them. You had to pick up them to go to bathroom, you had to clean them, you had to lift them up, and sometimes some people get senile, they fight with you, they beat you, they bite you, they do all kinds of things. And then you say, oh Lord, take this person in safe. I cannot take it anymore. So then that person is ready to release. And this is what's happening to the children of Israel. They will be very tired and they want to get out. And the Pharaoh also, one miracle Pharaoh will not allow, but when the 10 miracles happen, and when it comes to his own child dying, then the Pharaoh is going to say, okay, you go. And the Lord is saying, you're not coming with empty-handed. Whatever they took your work and labor and money and stolen everything, I'm going to give you back. And then you will be coming with the mighty hand of God. And everything, what you lost, I'll give you silver, gold, and everything. And you will almost going to spoil them. Means like you were in a war and they are defeated. So all the silver and gold is yours and you will be taking it. And let's go back to the book of Exodus chapter 4, verse 22.
And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn.
Okay, this God told the Moses, the reason why, because Moses might be thinking, Pharaoh will not allow me to go or allow us to go. So he is giving his secret. He did not tell him, go to the first day and tell the Pharaoh, if you don't let our people go, your firstborn will be killed. He did not say it like that. This is Moses has to keep in his mind, because later on, when the 10th plague will be the killing their firstborn. But the firstborn was not killed the first day. So this is, God is saying, if he doesn't allow you to go, then say this. First of all, you tell them, tell the Pharaoh, Israeli people are my firstborn. Now, every nation believes in God. But God never said about any nation, you are my firstborn. And when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and the word of God says, I call my son out of Egypt. So the Jewish people think the Israeli people are the God's people and they are the firstborn. But when Jesus Christ was born and God told Mary and Joseph, actually Joseph and Mary, take the child to Egypt. And when they went there and God told them to get out of Egypt, and when they came out of the Egypt, including Jesus, then the word of God says, I call my son out of Egypt. So it works for both ways. The children of Israel came out of Egypt. He said, I call my son out of Egypt. When Jesus went and came out of Egypt, he says, I call my son out of Egypt. So Jesus is the firstborn. Now somebody says, then Jesus Christ was born. No. What happens, Jesus Christ is from the beginning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are from beginning. But when Jesus Christ died and rose again, he says just like he's reborn. That means he came out of the grave and became the new creation. Whosoever believes Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are also new born creation. So that's what the Word of God says, I have begotten my Son. But begotten Son means this Son is came into this world, took a form of man, died for the mankind, and rose again. That's why he's called Jesus Christ was born. It's like a new creation. But he is from the beginning. Okay, verse 24.
And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him.
Now this is a little bit puzzling. People might be thinking God chosen him, God gave him instruction, he was not going. Now that's the time what God was angry before he says, I'm going to send your brother Aaron. That's the time God's supposed to kill him. Why God is killing him now? And then he says he was already ready to go, and they stopped somewhere, I think. He says in. So there God wanted to kill him. Now doesn't say what God was doing, but just think maybe he was getting a heart attack, or he was telling his wife, oh, I feel like I'm dying, I don't know what's happening, God is killing me. It's not written here. I think when Moses was in Midian, where the Jethro was the priest, and he lived in Jethro's house, and the firstborn was born, that time maybe that firstborn was circumcised. But the secondborn was not born right away because there is so much gap. Now when he's going, maybe the second child is very small. I don't know, he's 8 days old, or maybe he's older than that, because it doesn't say here. But when you read the verse 25, let's read.
Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision.
See, now from this a little bit sense comes that that child was not circumcised. I don't know why he didn't circumcise. Maybe he was not paying attention, or he was busy with this preparation, and the child was born, and maybe child is maybe 8 days old, and according to the God talked to Abraham, when the child is 8 days old, that child should be circumcised. Now Moses knows this thing. He's supposed to circumcise his child and then start a journey. But he didn't care. He may be forgotten or what happened, or purposely didn't do. It doesn't say here, but they might have some discussion that Zipporah's father might have said, let's do the circumcision. And Zipporah might have said, let's do the circumcision. He might have said, no, we are going on a journey, it's not important, or whatever happened. But when he start having heart attack, or maybe he found out that he's dying, that's why he said, maybe God is killing me, maybe I didn't obey the Lord, or something like that. Then he would have said, let me do the circumcision. But he might be not able at that particular time. His heart might be beating and he might be really dying. So the girl took some sharp stone. Actually, that is a white stone, looks like a very sharp. When you cut it, looks like a sharp knife. Here we don't see those stones, but in India there are so many. And so she might have took that stone, cut the stone, and maybe sharply, and took the foreskin of that child and put it under his feet. Now, if that child was older, 8 years, 10 years, that child is not going to allow to do that. So the child has to be maybe 8 days or so. So she was able to do, and according to the medical people, they say if you do the circumcision on the 8th day, it's easy, it heals, no more bleeding and things like that. So maybe that was 8 days old or not, we don't know. But she did that, put it under his feet, this bloodshed of my child, and she put this skin under his feet, she said, this is what you're supposed to do. And God was not angry anymore, and he might be didn't die at that particular time. And then she said, I saved you by the blood, and that was the circumcision. So I believe that Moses learned the lesson that he should be doing circumcision right away for his own children. And so sometimes we know certain things we should be doing it, but we put it away. Here, Moses was called. He was ready to go. God didn't tell him, hey, why didn't you do circumcision? This lady came to know, my husband should be doing circumcision, and he didn't do so. She saved his life. My brother's wife died, and he married another lady, and he might have told her everything about water baptism, and she might be not listening. And I already told him, is that lady born again and Christian and things like that? Oh, she's a Christian, he said. But that lady was not baptized. And one day, he was cooking or something or whatever, and the oil flashed on his body. I'm talking about my brother, and he thought he might be dying. So in that condition, he told his wife, maybe you are not listening to God and I might die. Would you like to take a baptism? She said, okay. And they went, and he baptized her. I baptized her, and then I was also healed. So the point I'm making, when the people get into some trouble, their sin, they remember, or their fault, they remember, I didn't do this, that's why God is killing me. He thought maybe if that oil would have gone in my eyes or my face, I would have been blind. And but it went to my chest, and so I thought this is the time to baptize my wife, and so he baptized his wife. So this is similar like that. God was killing him, so wife came to know, maybe this is the time. Maybe that wife said, oh, I'm not listening, and but I don't want you to get killed before you baptize me, or something like that. And she was baptized. So the point I'm making, sometime we put it away, the things we'll do later, and God doesn't want you to delay anything when you're doing for the Lord. God says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. So whatever you're doing for the Lord, you do today. And whatever you want to do today, do it now. That's what I do. And some people tell me, why do you hurry so many things? Anything I do for the Lord, do it faster and sooner. Don't put it away, God's plan for later. Okay, let's read verse 27.
And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him.
Now see, God already talked to Aaron. Now here, Moses is already going. Moses is already on the way. He stopped in the inn. Now the lady did the circumcision. Moses is now feeling better. Now in this time of need, God sent his brother looking for him. And he came and he met him, he says, in the mountain of God. That means where God spoke to Moses, that same place, God sent his brother and met him in the same place. God talked to him. Maybe Moses might have said, you know, this is the bush was burning, this is where I was standing, this is the way God told me. And he might have explained to everything to Aaron, and Aaron might have very happy. So when he said, God told him, your brother will come and he will meet you and he will be very glad in his heart. And exactly happened. If the Moses brother was angry, he will be not kissing him, he will not be hugging him. God allowed Aaron to come, meet the Moses, and they were very happy together. Let's read the verse 28.
And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him.
See, already Moses says, God says, whatever the Moses learned from God, he told everything what God's plan is. And then he said, this is the way we are going to go, and we will do whatever God has commanded us, and we will do signs and wonders and miracles, and what God had told us, we are going to do. So they agreed together. Verse 29.
And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people.
Now, see, Moses is already training while they were going, and Moses taught him everything, and he says, you talk to the elders of children of Israel, and you do the miracle, and people will see all the miracles, and they might listen to us. So he is already doing, and these people did all the signs and miracles in front of those people. And let's see what happens. Verse 31.
And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped.
Now this was a very good situation. They can see the testimony of Aaron and Moses. Sometimes you go and preach the gospel, and people do not pay too much attention. But you have the miracle testimony. You tell them what God has done for you. Now if somebody goes and stand there and say, believe Jesus Christ and this and that, he say, what did he do for you? And he say, oh, he didn't do anything, I just got saved. People are not going to be very excited to just say, I'm saved. Because there are so many people who do not believe in signs and wonders and miracles. And when they go to the different countries like Africa or India, but why should we believe your Jesus? We have 33 million gods. Why we need your God? Or you go to Africa, we have so many gods. Why we need your God? You can explain to them anything, but they are not going to believe. But if you say, my God and your God is different. My God does signs, wonders, and miracles. He can heal the sick, raise the dead, and he can give you eternal life. He can take your sin away. You don't have to give any sacrifice. He already did sacrifice for you. And when you do some signs and wonders and miracles, they will believe. Because book of Hebrews chapter 2, he says, God approved signs and wonders and miracles. But there are so many people, they reject the signs and wonders and miracle, and make the doctrine very cheap and very easy. People like it, but they have no experience. So the Christian life is not only you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you believe that he is able to do signs and wonders and miracles. And so our God is a miracle working God. These people, when they saw the miracle, when they believed and they start worshiping God, how this wonderful God talked to Moses, talked to Aaron, they met together, they came together, and they are doing this thing, it has to be God. And he's saying, oh God, talked to me, told me your brother is Levites, my name he knew Moses, and all of these things when you give proof, people believe. And sometimes there are people, Hindus or Muslim, they don't believe. You simply have to say, you know what? You call yourself on God. I don't have to tell you. And God will appear to you. Otherwise, if you have any sickness, if you have any problem, let me pray. If God answers my prayer, will you give your heart to Jesus Christ? There are people, they go into church 50 years, 20 years, and do not have any experience. So the point I'm making, all these elders, they saw the miracle. They saw that God is going to rescue us. He has looked upon our affliction and our problems, and God is going to deliver us. And they are all agreed, and they start worshiping God and thanking God what God has done. Moses might be very happy. Thank God, I said to my God, they will not believe. They will not listen. But now I see everybody is believing me. And everybody is agreed to worship that Jehovah God. And they had a good gathering and prayer meeting and everything. But that's going to change later on. Because those are the people who are happy today, they are going to be mad tomorrow. Because Pharaoh is not going to let them go the right away same day. But we have to take one day at a time. Sometimes people are happy, sometimes they are sad. Sometimes they have good times and bad times. But we have to learn one thing. When God is there in our sickness, our disease, our pain, our suffering, our good time, our bad time, once we have Lord with us, we don't have to worry. But the people sometimes, when they have good time, they are happy. When they have bad time, they leave the Lord and say, oh, he's not going to do any good to us. Why we should worship God and people backslidden? That's why it's very important for pastors and the elders and the ministers to encourage the church member when they are down and tell them the stories about the Bible, stories from your experience, stories what is God is doing in our church, and encourage those people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You call Moses with a definite high calling. Even though he had so many excuses, but instead of killing him, you blessed him. So Lord Jesus, give us grace to follow your calling and do the right thing. The time of trouble and trials, but when we go through, you are always there to rescue. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. Be with us, sanctify us, and use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.